This is The Session, a weekly preview of the policy trickling through the 67th session of the Montana Legislature. I'm Kevin Trevlin. I cover the State House for Yellowstone Public Radio, and I'm also a Report for America fellow.
I'm Shaylee Rager. I cover the State House for Montana Public Radio.
And I'm Mara Silvers. I cover the State House for Montana Free Press.
It's week five of The Session. 490 bills have been introduced, and there's one bill on Governor Greg Gianforte's desk. This week, we're watching bills to make tribes pay more property taxes, make interim committees partisan, and expedite court hearings for child protective cases. Shaylee, what are you watching this week?
I am watching Senate Bill 138. That's from Senator Greg Hertz. He's a Republican from Polson. He's trying to revive a policy that he brought last session, which would repeal a temporary exemption for tribes on property taxes when they apply for federal trust designation on land that they buy. This is land that was once owned by the tribes, established through various treaties with the U.S. government, and then later sold to non-Native Americans and is now being sold back to the tribes. I spoke with Hertz, and he says this is basically the same policy he brought last time, which was tabled in committee. So it didn't even make it out of committee, but he says this is something that his county commissioners in Lake County have been pushing for to recoup more revenue from the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes.
Lake County and some other counties have had particular problems with this process, and so we just feel it hasn't been working, and it's just time to go back to the way we've done it in the past.
Okay.
And there's some wider context here with the GOP pushing for tax reform.
Yeah, I think that's definitely at play here. Republicans are pushing for a wide range of tax reforms this session, and Democrats are too. But we have a governor in office now who is more friendly to changes in the tax code than past Democratic governors. So there may be a better chance for some of these tax reforms to get all the way to the governor's desk.
What kind of opposition do we maybe expect for this bill?
I chatted with Jordan Thompson, who's the lobbyist for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, and he says they will be opposing this bill as they have in the past. He says the tribe's position is that the U.S. broke promises when it opened up the reservation to sell lands that had been promised to the tribes in previous treaties, and they're in the process of trying to purchase this land back, and they feel that they should get the exemption from property taxes while they're in that process. Thompson said he doesn't know of any other situation in which one government is taxing another, and the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes and other tribes in Montana are sovereign nations separate from the state government. So he says this is just kind of a strange proposal in their opinion. And we'll also see opposition from Western Native Voice. I talked with a lobbyist for that organization who said, you know, they kind of feel that this is infringing upon tribe sovereignty. So I think it will be an interesting debate this week in Senate taxation.
Do we know anything about the fiscal impact this bill might have?
Yeah, the fiscal note on the bill shows that it would kind of have a negligible impact on the state's general fund, a couple thousand dollars each year, but it would have a much more significant impact at the local level, depending on how much tribal land is in a county.
Kevin, what are you keeping your eye on this week?
So I'm planning to follow a bill from Senator Keith Regier of Kalispell that would change membership of interim committees to have three members of the majority party and one member from the minority party instead of two from each party. And I talked to Regier last week, and he said the bill is intended to better reflect the makeup of the legislature, which is currently weighed heavily toward the GOP. Here he is referencing what happens when the session ends every 2 years.
And when we get to sine die, democracy ends, and we go to 50-50. The bill is to change that so that the will of the people is reflected in the interim as well as when the legislature's in session.
And this is an important issue because interim committees develop bills to be considered during the next session, and those bills often find a lot of support in the legislature because they are considered bipartisan. Interim committees also conduct studies that can inform potential legislation.
Have there been previous proposals to make those interim committees partisan?
Yeah, the Joint Rules Committee met in the fall and considered a rule that would have given the Senate President and House Speaker tie-breaking votes on interim committees, which again would reward the majority party. And then also on the topic of interim committees, Republican Representative Steve Gunderson is sponsoring a bill that would give them more power to review state agency rules before they're adopted. That bill was supposed to have a hearing last week, but it was canceled, so not quite sure about the status of that bill. Mara, what are you planning to follow this week?
Yeah, so actually on the topic of interim committees, I'm watching this bill, House Bill 90, that's brought by Representative Dennis Lenz. It came out of the Interim Committee for Children, Families, and Human Services. And it has to do with what happens after a child is removed from their home by Child Protective Services, or CPS. Here's Lenz explaining that bill to the Human Services Committee last week.
My goal is to create a quicker turnaround time and higher expectations and clear expectations for these parents when their children have been removed. Not when their pickup has been repossessed, but their children have been removed.
So right now, the soonest that a kiddo and their family will get to appear in court to start resolving whatever happened is 20 days after their removal. And a lot of people involved with the system say that's just too long, because the further away the hearing is, the longer it takes to start down a path toward resolution, and the more distress and trauma that can happen to everybody. So this bill would require a show cause hearing within 5 business days of a kid being taken out of the home. And that's just a much shorter timeline in general.
And at that hearing last week that you mentioned, who are some of the people who spoke in favor of HB 90 or against it?
Yeah, so this is where it gets really interesting. Because it was an interim bill, I expected this to be fairly bipartisan, fairly straightforward, but there's actually a lot of disagreement between proponents and opponents. So some of the people that we heard speaking in favor of the bill tended to be parents who were sharing personal stories about how they felt like their children were wrongly removed. And this bill, if it had been in place, would have helped them respond to CPS sooner. But the opponents, on the other hand, they included a lot of county attorneys and judges who are actually involved in this system. And they said that while they really appreciate the spirit of the bill and they agree that hearings need to happen sooner, the way that it's currently written just doesn't address all of the legal infrastructure that needs to be in place to make these cases happen quickly. One of the people who spoke was Judge Jessica Fair out of Yellowstone County. She is doing faster hearings now as part of a pilot project, and she just said her court needs a lot more resources.
The administrative piece of this cannot be ignored. And I'm in a jurisdiction that has 8 judges with law clerks with more resources than a majority of my fellow judges in other jurisdictions. And we are struggling.
Other opponents also said that this bill conflicts with the requirements of the Indian Child Welfare Act, or ICWA. That requires that a tribe is given at least 10 days notice before a hearing happens involving a child who's a tribal member. So generally, a lot remains to be seen about where this issue goes. It's definitely a priority of a lot of people who are involved in these systems, but it's not clear where this bill is going to go.
And to that point, Mara, I want to give a quick plug on the new bill tracker that Eric Dietrich with Montana Free Press built. It's a website that pulls together a ton of information on lawmakers and bills and presents it in a nice, digestible format. As we know, sometimes the legislative process can be a bit confusing and opaque, so this is a great tool for folks who want to stay engaged.
Yeah, that's a pretty wild project that Eric had been working on for a while. But if you go to montanafreepress.org, you can see the link to find that database. He's always looking for ways to make it better. So if you have feedback, just reach out to Eric.
Great. And before we go, we will check back on some bills that we discussed in previous episodes. Mara, where are we with Senate Bill 65?
This is the bill that would protect businesses from some liability in the case that they're accused of exposing patrons to COVID-19. This is one of the bills that Governor Gianforte said needed to be in place in order for him to consider repealing the statewide mask mandate. So that bill has passed through to the House side. And this past week, it passed out of the Business and Labor Committee with some amendments. We should expect to see a floor debate on that bill this week or soon.
And I've been following House Bill 112, which would ban transgender women from competing in interscholastic sports. That bill is moving on to the Senate after passing the House, as will 4 anti-abortion bills that we've heard over the last couple of weeks. I'd also like to note that House Bill 113, which would bar doctors from providing gender-affirming care to trans youth, was voted down in the House, so it will not move forward.
That about wraps up this week's episode. Mara and Shaylee, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
This has been The Session, a weekly preview of the action at the Montana State House during the 2021 legislative session. From Montana Free Press, Montana Public Radio, and Yellowstone Public Radio, thanks for listening.